You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Robert Lee.
And welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Justin Rose claims his 10th European Tour title in dramatic fashion at the WGC HSBC Champions in Shanghai.
I played one of the best back nines I've played in for forever, and to shoot 31 on the back to come through and save my best till last. I've won every year since 2010, if you include the Olympics. Obviously last year was my only win, this is my only win in 17. I left it late this year, but it feels amazing.
The Englishman's victory came after a nightmare final round for Dustin Johnson, who had to settle for tied second alongside Brooks Koepka and Henrik Stenson.
The good stuff is really good, and there's still a few things that we can improve on, but all in all I'm very happy with the way I played and came very close. We were right up in contention, and that's where we want to be.
We'll look back at the best of the action, plus we've an exclusive chat with rising star Austin Connolly ahead of the next Rolex Series event, the Turkish Airlines Open. Hello, I'm Dan Roebuck, and I'm pleased to say I'm joined by two-time European Tour winner Robert Lee. Rob, how are you?
Just the twice, it felt like more, Dan, it felt like more.
Well, I always think that you deserve more.
Yeah, I did. There's no doubt about that.
And you got yourself in a position to win more.
I think the swathe of opinion that will come across the airways between now and next week will actually confirm that.
The problem, though, Rob, is that you did a bit of a DJ on the odd occasion. Or did you? Can you remember a situation where you were well clear in an event, but unfortunately, for whatever reason, you didn't play well, the golfing gods were against you, that you didn't get the job done when you should have?
I never had a 5-shot lead or a 6-shot lead going into the final round. That never happened, no. That's a luxury, really. If you're the world number one and you're Dustin Johnson and you've had 63 during the week, you're obviously playing well, everything firing. You're going to the final round with that sort of a buffer back to the rest. It should be, and I know it's a funny old game, but it should be game over, but it wasn't, was it?
It wasn't. Let's just remind everyone, Justin Rose came from 8 shots behind the third round leader, Dustin Johnson, to win his 10th European Tour title out in China, the HSBC Champions event. We've got to give credit to Rose, first of all, because he played the back nine brilliantly, didn't he?
What he said in his chat afterwards, that he decided to play match play against the golf course.
How does that work?
I can only think that that means if I make a birdie, I'm one up, and if I make a bogey, I lose a hole. If I keep parring, if I had 9 pars, it would be a half match.
Okay.
I can only think that's what he was trying to do. So he wanted to play the back nine and under par, essentially. It was a tricky day. It was blustery. Clubbing wasn't easy, but he ground them down. That's what he did. He played a superb back nine, and I think halfway through the back nine, probably thinking, he said, looking at second, because despite Dustin not playing well in the front nine, he still had it in his control. He's not going to think that Dustin's going to play the last 4 holes in 2 over.
Do we know if Justin was looking at leaderboards? Do we know if the other members of the field were looking at leaderboards, thinking, do you know what, DJ could be in collapseville as he was in the US Open back in 2010 at Pebble Beach?
I remember when he won the US Open, he said he hadn't looked at leaderboards and tried to play, you know, the best he could in each hole coming in. But you look at Woods and you look at Palmer and you look at Nicklaus, look at the best players that ever played the game. They would always want to know where they stood. They would always want to know, did they have to change the game plan? If someone's a top player and they say they don't look at leaderboards, I don't want to believe them.
What happened with Dustin Johnson, do you think? What went wrong for him?
It's hard to say, isn't it? Because he had one bad drive that I can think of where he had to reload at the second. And yeah, it was a shaky start, a couple over after 2 holes. But for him, there are so many birdie chances on that golf course. He just seemed to lose patience. A birdieless day for him. When's the last time Dustin Johnson played a round of golf and didn't have one birdie? Maybe never.
Were conditions a factor?
Conditions were difficult, but they were tricky for everyone. It was the hardest of all the 4 days, weather-wise. It was colder than it was for the first 3 days, and it was windier than it was for the first 3 days. But hey-ho, you know, it's an outdoor sport. You have to adjust. That's not a reason for Dustin losing this.
We mentioned, I think he was 3 clear at halfway.
I've said Dustin losing it. I didn't say Justin winning it, which is probably doing Rose a disservice.
Yeah, I was going to say, because Justin Rose, in the end, still had to play very good golf over the course
Justin
of the last
won it.
9 holes.
Yeah.
He birdied, 5 of the last 9? So he certainly won it just as much as Dustin lost it. But there were key holes down the stretch for Dustin because he's still in control. He's still leading by 3. It's still the last day of a significant tournament, a WGC tournament. He's a major winner. He's world number one. He still thinks, surely I've just got to be controlled down the stretch. In those final, 5 or 6 holes, was it the bogey on 12th? Was it his failure to make birdie at 14?
For me, it was 14. He drove it so far down there and had a short iron in, and he has got to make a birdie 4, and he hit it fat. In the end, I think he scraped a par at 14.
But he did.
He chunked an iron, and it was a gift birdie for him. He didn't make the birdie, scraped a par, and struggled. He bogeyed 15, bogeyed 16, and parred the last two. You play the last four holes down the stretch when it gets tight and two over par, you can't win.
We're focusing, of course, on Justin Rose and Dustin Johnson, but there were two other players in the mix, Brooks Koepka and Henrik Stenson, who both must have had a serious chance of winning this event when they saw Johnson going into reverse. What happened with those two?
Well, Brooks didn't have his best game. He had a bad start, and then he started making a few birdies and coming back into it. And then he went the wrong way again. And Henrik, he was plotting a very steady furrow through the golf course all day long. He's got a chance with two holes to go, one under the last two, and he would tie Justin Rose. And he hit his tee shot at 17 into the hazard. Made a brilliant four, by the way. And then he needs eagle at the last and hits a 3-wood off the tee, which means he can't hit the green in two.
So what is he hoping to do there? What is he hoping to achieve? Is it just the fact that he doesn't trust his game?
We know how long Henrik is. It was 2 woods for Dustin Johnson. Maybe it was so on the cusp for him whether he could reach in two or not. He decided not to. But I've got to think, you know, when you're down to your last 50 million quid, and you've got a chance with an eagle at the last. I know you haven't, and trust me, you're never going to get there. But if you're down to the last chance alone, you've got to hit the driver.
But if he knows he just can't get there, if he knows, he just has no faith in it, why bother?
He won't know. He'd have had a feeling probably that he might not get there. But if he absolutely crushed it off the tee like he can do with his driver, I do believe he could have reached a green in two. And you know what? If you hit a bad drive then you just carry on from there. Got to have a go, though.
Chances missed,
never
certainly.
Never played for second.
No, never. Chances missed then over the final three or four holes from Dustin Johnson, who bogeyed 15 and 16. Brooks Koepka with that double on 15. You mentioned Henrik Stenson didn't go for it on the 18th. Bogeyed 17. Justin Rose birdied 16, birdied 17. A 2 on the par 3 before parring the last. And he did play some brilliant golf, didn't he?
He was excellent. He really was good, Justin Rose. And, of course, the win now, and he would have been aware of this, he's one of the few players that successfully plays two tours. So he's got a great start to his PGA Tour career. But now he's got a fantastic finish to this year's Race to Dubai. And with the 1.6 odd that he won, you put that onto the points that he had racked up, and he's now in third place in the Race to Dubai. And he's going to Turkey. So Tommy Fleetwood's now all of a sudden looking over his shoulder, which makes it fun.
Time to get some social media reaction regarding Justin Rose's win. And from the man himself, boom, what a day. Scott Henn, nice win, Justin Rose. And caddy Mark Fulcher, two legends and gentlemen, played the game and let the boys come to them. Thomas Bjorn said, magic Sunday from Justin Rose and Fuch. Well done, boys. Also a nice run by Henrik Stenson and Gareth Lord. If you want to get in touch with us, you can tweet us at European Tour using the hashtag Race2DubaiShow. Time to hear from the newly crowned winner of the WGC HSBC Champions, Justin Rose.
That's unbelievable, really. I mean, obviously, we all know the position DJ was in, and I think today was the kind of day that a leader probably didn't want. Well, you want a 6-shot lead any time, but this was the kind of day where that kind of swing is possible. Obviously, I shot 5-under in some really tough conditions, and he had to play good golf to keep it around par today, and obviously, he made a few mistakes, but it was really tricky out there. And obviously, I played one of the best back nines I've played in for forever. And to shoot 31 on the back to come through and save my best till last.
Especially after 8 or 9, that period of time, coming back from that must have been amazing.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. You know, I was going along quite nicely and three-putted from a bit of a careless three-putt at 8, and then 9 was a total brain meltdown. We were thinking 190 to the hole, and I pitched it way too far down that green, but I shook it off, and I kind of played match play against myself coming in. I told myself I was 4 down, and could I beat the golf course coming in? And it was incredible how that sort of re-energized me. It's going to probably vault me into the top three, I'd imagine. I'm sure I don't go past Tommy and probably maybe behind Sergio, but it kind of gives me a realistic chance now that if I was to have a special end to the season with Turkey and Dubai, you know, I've got a chance.
Just quickly sum up, what do you feel?
It's been a long time since I'd won, or at least it feels like that, and I guess it's actually, well, I've won every year since 2010, if you include the Olympics. Obviously, last year was my only win. This is my only win in 17. I left it late this year, but it feels amazing.
Yeah, that, incidentally, is the longest active streak on tour at the moment for Justin Rose. He has been sensational over the course of the last half a dozen years. His final 9 holes, 31, 5 under par, 5.7 strokes less than the field average. That is astonishing, Rob.
Yeah, so they kind of played it in par, and he took it apart. Listen, it was a tricky blustery day, and as he got better, other people floundered around him.
Justin Rose's last 5 results, 10th, 10th, 2nd, 10th, first.
Well, he was 10th through the FedEx Cup Series. Yeah. Those four, he was top 10 all the way through, yeah. So that's pretty impressive. And he came, he didn't come with winning form, but he did come with form. And he found the golf course to his liking. A lot of the players really like that Sheshan International. They all speak very nicely about it. And, you know, everyone likes risk and reward, and there's plenty of that. There's par fives you can reach, but get in a mess if you don't hit an accurate second, like Dustin Johnson at 14. And then the finish is really sporty, with 15 being a tough par four. 16 you can drive, but there's danger. 17, as you saw, you can knock it in the hazard, the par 3, and 18, risk-reward par 5. It's a good course.
It was a second WGC win for Rosie, incidentally, and he moves up to third in the Race to Dubai rankings presented by Rolex. More on those standings shortly. Rest of the leaderboard, Dustin Johnson, we have to mention, of course, again, this is the quote from DJ saying, "I didn't make any putts. I felt like I rolled it good, just nothing was going in the hole. Hit a couple of really bad iron shots. That was probably the key there on 14. I just chunked it. Same thing on 15, I just chunked it. That cost me two shots there, and then bogeying 16, that's just bad. So I just gave a few away, but it was tough conditions. It is what it is." I don't know what to say about DJ, because he's done this before. 2010, Pebble Beach, Graham McDowell winning. He had a massive lead going into that major final round. Conditions weren't as bad as they were necessarily in China, but they were blustery. But
are you thinking about Royal St George's when he shanked an iron out of bounds?
Yeah, that's another one.
Yeah,
it's another one. He's done it a few times before.
It is what it is, though. You can't argue with that, can you?
No, you can't.
You know, you can pull things apart. But in the end, when you come out with "it is what it is," it is what it is.
That's the type of... Look, you've got to move on. You can't dwell on it.
I think Dustin Johnson's powers of recovery are fantastic.
He's good at that.
It's fantastic. He will tuck this away, just put it down as a bad day and carry on. I honestly think other players might have been affected. They'll be saddled with, you had a six-shot lead as the world number one and you blew it, but that's not the way Dustin's going to treat this.
Henrik Stenson was another to finish tied second, and the Swede was delighted with his performance.
Very happy with the week, the way I played in general. I came here looking for a bit of form and some answers, and I think I got a lot of them. Still work in progress, and I wouldn't say I'm playing my best, but I had a lot of good shots and kept it together tied in tough conditions both yesterday and today. So the good stuff is really good, and there's still a few things that we can improve on, but all in all I'm very happy with the way I played, and I mean, we came very close. We were right up in contention, and that's where we want to be.
Won the Wyndham Championship on the PGA Tour not so long ago, back in late August, second HSBC. We talked about the fact that he didn't really go for it on the last, but it's another good week for him, isn't it?
He's finished second at a big tournament. I'm still thinking he should have hit driver off the last, and if it wasn't far enough to go for the green. You don't go for the green and carry the water if you can't do it, but surely if he can do it, if he absolutely buttoned it off that last hole, he could have crushed the second one, and I do believe make the green. But listen, he got out of it what he wanted out of it. That's fine.
A stellar top 10 in China also included Rafa Cabrera Bello and Bernd Wiesberger, and we can hear from both of them now, starting with the Spaniard.
Very, very good week overall. I mean, I played some great golf, been up there, not contending for the title, certainly contending for the top five, so obviously pleased with my performance.
I played decent. I hit a lot fewer greens, obviously, than the first two rounds, but you know, given the conditions, that was clear, but I scrambled all right. A few hiccups here now and then to give away some shots easily, but all in all, you know, 3-under over the weekend in tricky conditions was good to move up close to a top 10, so I got to be pleased with that, especially with the way I've played the last few weeks, which wasn't quite pleasing. I'm quite happy with the consistency I've brought back a bit into my game now.
Two players that, for me, are just below that very top echelon, but have the game to get there.
Yeah, Rafa Cabrera Bello has been... He is still improving. He really is. He got his big win in the middle of the summer. That was in Scotland. That was tremendous the way he closed that one out and hit two woods onto that green and made the birdie that he needed to win. He was fantastic, and he's high up in the Race to Dubai. But Bernd Wiesberger, for me, the next thing he's got to do is qualify for a Ryder Cup side. I think that is Bernd's next big thing. He's certainly good enough. He's got enough pedigree to do it. I think he's got to drive himself harder. I know he's finished what, top 10, tied ninth, and that's fine, great. But I wouldn't be, if I was him, so satisfied with that.
Speaking of the top 10, we need the man who populated it out in China, Rob.
Well, Justin Rose, by far and away the best player on the final day. He took that back nine apart, 67 for Justin. It was a fantastic performance, and of course, a check for 1.4, just under, million euro. Dustin Johnson finished tied second with Brooks Koepka and Henrik Stenson. Then in fifth, it was Cabrera Bello. Kyle Stanley had a good week, and Peter Uihlein. And on his own in eighth was the left-hander from America, Brian Harman. Matthew Fitzpatrick and Bernd Wiesberger tied for ninth. That rounds out the top 10.
Fantasy Race 2 Dubai tips. Now, when I'm not here, which is obviously more often than not, and my selections over the course of 2017 haven't been terrific, I know for a fact, Mr. Lee, because I'm told by your colleagues that you rubbish my selections. So now it's my opportunity to rubbish yours while you're here.
Yes.
Robert Lee, last week, went for Patrick Reed, four over, tied 50th.
After a couple of rounds, Patrick was right there. It looked like it was going to be a plan that came together.
The event is not over a couple of rounds.
He found reverse gear at the weekend and put on the thrusters. Well done. Next.
And John Rahm tied 36th, level for the week.
Yeah, John Rahm again at one point was going along okay, and then he went backwards. He recovered.
You don't have to offer excuses. I've got no right of reply when you rubbish mine. Well, so you can just sit in silence and just think, I must do better next week.
Well, the thing is, you spend hours and hours trawling through pages and pages and reams of stats and figures to come up with your pathetic choices. I'm sort of gut, really. I thought Patrick Reed and John Rahm might go
that's,
well.
That's one word. Jamie Spence went for Hideki Matsuyama, yeah, who was tied 50th, four over, and Francesco Molinari, yeah, who was tied 46th, three over, so he was rubbish as well.
So who won out of the two of us? Thank you.
Well, you both lost.
John Rahm.
You both lost.
Well, as you know, in golf, you lose most weeks.
As a player, you lose most weeks.
You have to decide what you're happy with.
Yeah.
But if you're happy with losing, you lose most weeks.
Absolutely. Yeah. In our Fantasy Race 2 Dubai game, Jason Collier leads the overall standings, while Neil Harrison scored the most points this week after having Justin Rose and tied second Henrik Stenson as well. Meanwhile, in our Race 2 Dubai show mini-league, listener Eddie Whitefield registered the most points this week, and he now tops the overall leaderboard as well. So congratulations to you, Eddie. Remember to head to europeantour.com for their Fantasy 3 to watch at this week's Turkish Airlines Open.
Worth mentioning, just before you go on, that Jamie Spence, playing our Fantasy Race to Dubai game, went for Justin Rose as his captain and nailed it. And yet he didn't tip him.
Mm.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is there something, you know, clandestine going on there?
I think what happens is a hidden agenda?
Because
we record this on Monday morning, Jamie's probably not got his sort of, you know, head on to actually delve deep into the stats before making his selection.
Well, maybe so.
Or maybe he just wanted to get out of the booth as quickly as possible because he was working with you, I don't know.
Do you want the Race to the Buy standings?
Yes, please.
Tommy Fleetwood still leads the way with just over 4 million Race to the Buy points. And then back to Sergio Garcia, who's got 3.184 million Race to Dubai points. Then it's Justin Rose up to third, the big mover after the win at the HSBC. John Rahm is fourth, Tyrrell Hatton fifth, Ross Fischer sixth, Rafa Cabrera-Bello is seventh, Alex Noren eighth, Francesco Molinari nine, and Rory McIlroy is 10th.
Other news next, Rob. You're going to like this one. The 2018 Shot Clock Masters in Austria will be the first tournament in professional golf to use a shot clock on every shot as part of the European Tour's bid to combat slow play. The European Tour experimented with a shot clock on one hole at Golf Sixes earlier this year, a move which proved popular with both players and fans, and the concept will now be used for the first time at a European Tour event at the Diamond Country Club in June of next year. In a marked difference to the Golf Sixes model, however, this tournament will embrace the Tour's official timing policy over 72 holes with intent to showcase European Tour event played at a more compelling pace. What's your first reaction to that news, Rob?
Brilliant, superb, absolutely fantastic. It's been a long time coming. Someone able to put something together that's going to make people play to the official timing policy. I mean, 50 to 40 seconds is an eternity.
The first member of the group, 50 seconds to play the shot, and then after that, the subsequent two in a three ball, yeah, will take 40 seconds. Yeah. And I believe there are two timeouts that you can have over the course of a round. Does that seem fair to you?
Yeah.
The timings and the fact that you do no get
timeouts.
The opportunity.
No timeouts. 40 seconds, get on with it.
But what happens if you're in the trees or that? I don't know. What happens if you're in real trouble?
If you've got to call a referee, you've got to call a referee. You've got to do it. How many times do you call a referee in a normal round of golf? It's not even once a round. Not even close.
I don't know. But
you don't.
Look, you know how players can potentially bend the rules, and if they feel that they're under pressure.
What are you saying about us? Explain yourself.
If you're under pressure, you might start calling the referee more. it might elongate some shots, some rounds. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I don't think
playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to call a ref unless you think you're going to get something out of it.
You're going to get more time out of it.
Or you're not sure out of the rule about the ref. If you're not sure about the rule, and it's happened many times, make sure a referee gives you clarity. That's what you need. But you can, I believe that's going to be a two-time call.
It will be fascinating. No
yeah,
doubt
it will. It's you know what? It's given people something to talk about, and it's going to shake it up. Shake it up!
Also, Paul Casey has confirmed he'll rejoin the European Tour starting from next season. The 40-year-old two-time Ryder Cup winner said, "I've missed it, and it always bothered me slightly not being a member. I want to play another Ryder Cup. That's why I need to do this. But it's not just the Ryder Cup. What excites me more is the role I can play supporting the young guys." Great to have Paul back in the mix, potentially back in the mix. He's got to qualify for the team.
Yeah,
of course.
He's got to qualify, but I would back him to qualify. And he's had
a great year. Not a winning year, but a great year.
Not a winning year. You know,
if that can
he doesn't rack up the W's. But consistency wise, Paul Casey has had an amazing season, and he's a fantastic match player, a tremendous match player, and will be. He will definitely be an advantage to the European side. Having a Paul Casey in the side is better side than not having Paul Casey in the side. So, yeah, he brings a lot.
And finally, Jens Dantorp played one of the shots of the season to seal a memorable Challenge Tour victory at the Ras Al Khaimah 2017 Golf Challenge, overcoming Adrian Meronk in a dramatic playoff with a sensational eagle. The Swede put his approach to 6 feet on the par 5 18th and rolled in the putt to better his opponent's birdie and secure his place in next week's NBO Golf Classic Grand Final. We need the top 10 in the world. Rob.
You know, the amazing thing about that Challenge Tour is that those young kids are under so much pressure to produce, to get into the grand final, to get their car, to get out on tour. You know, that's probably an unheralded cauldron of pressure that we don't talk about week in, week out. But congratulations to all those that have given themselves a chance at the last event, and obviously, ultimately, to all those that are successful after a tough 2017 season. Top 10 in the world rankings. Dustin Johnson, number one, 11.88 points. On 10 dead is Jordan Spieth in second spot. Then Justin Thomas after an amazing season. Hideki Matsuyama in fourth. John Rahm fifth. Justin Rose up from 13th to sixth. Brooks Koepka up from 11th to seventh. Henrik Stenson from 9 to 8. Rory McIlroy has gone from 6 back down to 9, because for every one that goes up, there must be others that come down. Ricky Fowler has gone from 7 to 10th.
Time to look ahead to this week's event now and the 6th tournament in the Rolex Series, the Turkish Airlines Open at the Regnum Carrier Golf and Spa Resort. Torbjörn Olesen returns to defend the title. He won by 3 shots last year. Tell us a little bit about the course, Rob.
Nice golf course, very nice. A little bit of rolling. I wouldn't say it's flat. I would say it's not on the side of a mountain either, but there are some contouring on the golf course and tree line with pine trees. It looks really pretty. There's a bit of risk and reward, some water out there as well. You know, it's one of those courses, sometimes you get there as now on the other side, watching instead of playing. And I look at courses and I think, you know, you couldn't force me to go on a Monday morning to go out there and play. I'd actually like to go out and play this course on a Monday.
Type of player that will prosper?
A good one.
Obviously.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
They're all good.
Oh, yes.
Big hitter, accurate hitter, good putter.
I don't think you have to be a big hitter around here. I don't think that's necessarily it. But the greens are sporty. You do need to putt well. There's no doubt about that. I think it gives everybody a chance. Sometimes you get to a course and you think, well, if you can fly it 290, 300, you've got such an advantage on half the field. But this isn't one of those courses, so everybody has a chance.
7,159 yards, par 71, incidentally.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've got a really good field. We have got two of the top three on the Race to Dubai at the moment. Tommy Fleetwood, first and foremost. What a season he's had. He's gunning for the Race to Dubai title. He wants it, doesn't he?
Well, he's had that sort of million-point advantage, which has been
whittled away a little bit.
He's still basically got it. But the point is, he is going to be playing in Turkey, he's going to be playing in South Africa, he's going to be playing in Dubai. So if you want to beat Tommy Fleetwood, you've got to make a million more than he makes in those three tournaments. That's going to be quite a tough call. So for Justin, he has got to go to Turkey and win, I do believe.
Well, Tommy Fleetwood was 20th out in China. He was 22nd in Turkey last year. Justin Rose, he mentioned the fact that suddenly he knows he's in the ballpark, he's in the conversation for the title here. So he's not going to be playing South Africa. He needs a big week, doesn't he, this week?
Yeah, of course, yeah. If Justin could win, they're pretty much neck and neck. It would be a brilliant. Even if he finishes in the top three or four, it gives him a chance in Dubai, depending on what Tommy does in South Africa. If Tommy plays these 3 weeks well, he wins. He will be the best player on the European Tour for 2017. If he doesn't, there are chances for the likes of Rose.
Garcia? Well, he's not going to play enough, is he?
I don't think Garcia's going to make enough money. So it can't be Garcia, I don't believe. And it can't be John Rahm, because he's not playing the next two. It could be Tyrrell Hatton. Tyrrell Hatton can win a million here. He goes to 3.5 million. That's 500 behind. It could easily be Tyrrell Hatton. Ross Fisher, maybe Cabrera Bello. Those guys are still... If you're playing the last three tournaments, you've got a chance because of what's available each and every week. So Tommy Fleetwood, and he knows he's got it in his own hands. He goes and plays well. They can't get past him.
That's the wider picture with the Race 2 Dubai standings. Specifically this week, we've mentioned Fleetwood, we've mentioned Rose. Henrik Stenson hasn't played the course, but he's played Turkey twice before, 7th and 3rd. Different venue, but obviously conditions a little bit the same. And coming off the back of that second place finish, he's going to be in the mix, or you would have thought will be in the mix come Sunday.
Well, he talked about how he felt his game was coming together, and, you know, he's just finished 2nd at the HSBC Championship. Things are going the way that Henrik wants them to go. Yeah, but he's some way behind. He's, where is he? 11th in the Race to Dubai, 1.7 to Tommy's 4 in terms of million points. That's a lot of catching up for Henrik Stenson. But all of a sudden, you chuck a million on there, you start to think differently. And maybe, who knows, you might add an extra tournament. You just don't know, do you?
Thomas Peters, a big hitter who could potentially prosper. His form hasn't been as good over the course of the last few weeks, I think, that he would have hoped for, but
Thomas,
he's capable, isn't he?
Yeah, he's still a little bit of an enigma, because his very best game is as good as, and I mean anybody, is as good as Rory or Dustin or Justin, Jordan. He's as good as any of those guys if he's on his very best form. But he tends to be streaky. He plays well in clutches and batches. Then you don't see him. Then he comes back. A phenomenal talent, Thomas Peters. He absolutely is.
We mentioned a good half dozen more. Who else do you think we might see populate the leaderboard over the course of the week? We've got Matt Fitzpatrick playing. We've got Alexander Lavie. Peter Uihlein, who found form in China, is playing very well, even though he's been playing in America as well. There are some good players in decent form playing in Turkey.
Oh, Matt Fitzpatrick, Afi Barnrat, Kiradesh has played some great stuff. Paul Dunn won recently on the European Tour when he won the British Masters. Lots of people. Bernd Wiesberger has just played well. And like I say, I think he's got to push it. I think he's really got to be hard on himself and get into contention more often and get himself a Ryder Cup spot at the Austrian. Tremendous player. Yeah, Alex Levy's a streaky player, and when he performs to the best of his ability, he's a winner. So there's so many good players. Jordan Smith has had a great year. Looking forward to it. Lee Westwood's playing. Torbjørn Olsen's playing. Defending champion.
Indeed.
See what I'm saying? Mm. You looked at me sort of vacantly there, but anyway.
That's my usual look.
What is your usual look? It's, hey, listen, it's got you this far.
Exactly. Can't be doing anything.
So
that bad.
It's a top quality field with a massive prize fund, as it's a Rolex Series event there for the players.
Well, another man hoping to have a strong showing this week is rising star on the European Tour, Austin Connolly, who I'm delighted to say joins us now. Austin, you're already in Turkey. Can you give our listeners some insight as to what the course is like?
Oh, absolutely. You know, this week is really spectacular. It's probably one of my favorite layouts so far that I've played this year. So there's some pretty tight fairways, some very unique sight lines. They did a great job with trimming back trees and just making the golf course aesthetically look incredible. So really, really looking forward to getting this week going. It's nice to have a limited field and almost like you have the course yourself out here.
What's the thing, Austin, that you've enjoyed the most about this year?
You know, honestly, probably how well received I've been from the players and the European Tour as a whole. I really feel like I've been treated just so well, and I'm so thankful that they've just taken such good care of me and kind of made me feel like I'm part of the family, and just very lucky to have been received that way.
It has been a breakthrough year for you. Tied 14th at the Open Championship. That led to a decent run of form, including 2nd at the KLM Open. So you've adapted to life in Europe very quickly, it seems.
Absolutely. You know, it's really neat for me coming and traveling to all these different places and seeing different cultures, different types of golf courses, and just tried to, you know, really embrace it and enjoy each week. You know, each event has its own unique feel to it. And, you know, there's some golf courses that I've played that have really fit my eye and fit me well. The KLM was one of those golf courses. And, you know, there's some that I might need to play a few more times to, you know, really learn my way around and you know, in the future have you know, good finishes at them.
We've seen the likes of Brooks Koepka play on the European Tour, Peter Uihlein as well, one or two other American players, Canadian players, coming over at an early stage in their career. Have you watched their progress and thought, yeah, this is a way to the top table, this is a way that I can improve as a golfer and as a person?
Absolutely. You know, I think that's the biggest thing, you know, with the European Tour, the biggest draw for me was the world ranking points and how well the tour was run and seeing it as a pathway forward. So, you know, for me coming over here, and I started the year, I think, somewhere around 800 and something in the world, and I've risen just inside the top 200, you know, playing some of the smaller events. And so it just shows how strong the fields are and how you know, high the level of play is, that you can rise that quickly, you know, without playing in events like the majors and WGCs and or you know, on the PGA Tour. It's definitely been a great experience, and I'm really happy that I you know, made the leap to come over here.
Austin, I really like the way you play. Kind of grip it and rip it style. You don't waste too much time. But you, if you look at some of the gorillas out on tour in world golf, are a slightly built guy. Now, the gorillas spend hours in the gym. Is this something you feel like you're going to have to do?
Honestly, no. I've kind of geared my game more around, you know, accuracy and, you know, obviously with my slight stature, I'm never going to be one of those big guys that just go out there and bomb and gouge it. So, you know, I went through a period of time when I first turned pro where I was working out really hard and I was trying to you know, look for a little bit of that extra distance. And, you know, I might have seen a little, you know, a couple yards here or there, but I was really busting my butt in the gym trying to just reach for it. And the only thing that I really noticed a difference was how my body felt. And, you know, I started having little injuries, like my left wrist started hurting and my shoulder started hurting and my lower back started catching, you know, sometimes off my backswing. Just things that I wasn't really happy with. So I've gone into more of a body preservation mode where I'm just trying to make sure that I'm moving well and I feel good and I can go into each event and feel like I'm well rested. You know, I don't hit a whole lot of golf balls on the range throughout the week. A lot of guys kind of come and really, really work hard week in, week out here. And I really am trying to manage my time as well as I can and just kind of, you know, figure out what works best for me.
Tell us about your relationship with Cameron McCormack and, of course, Jordan Spieth, Austin.
Yeah, you know, Cameron has been unbelievable to me. He really is a lot of the reason why I am where I am today. The way that Cameron teaches is he really turns you into the best player that you can be. I mean, he looks at the golf ball and basically teaches you why the golf ball does what it does. And then you learn your golf swing around that and figure out what makes the ball do what. And he almost makes it so that you can just self-diagnose yourself on the course. And then when he's there, you know, he really helps me fine-tune, sharpen my skills, you know, every time I get to see him. So just, yeah, very, very thankful to have him as a coach and as a mentor to me. And Jordan's an unbelievable person. I've been fortunate to get to spend quite a bit of time with him, and I've watched him rise, obviously, to number one in the world and now three-time major champion. And it's definitely inspired me to see what he's done at such a young age and how he's carried himself, and the fan base he's built around him is really, really something I admire.
Austin, you're really annoying because you're making far too much sense and talking so beautifully about the world of golf and your swing, and it all makes perfect sense. Really well spoken, well done. My last question is, yeah, no, honestly, I mean that. My last question is, for you, it's probably hard to say for you growing up, you're still growing up, but for you, who was the person that inspired you?
Obviously, I think we all live in this era right now, and you're seeing a lot of this very high-level golf being played by a lot of young guys, and it was really due to Tiger Woods. I mean, the way that he just burst onto the scene and you know, captured so many people's you know attention. He's done so much to the game, and the way he raised the purses and just raised golf's profile as a whole. I think I would have to say Tiger because he's been such an empowering force, you know, within the game.
And finally, from me, obviously you're teeing up in Turkey this week. It's a big event, lots of money available, very good field, some terrific players that you're up against. Are you feeling good? How do you think that you will fare in Turkey this week?
You know, I feel really good about it. I'm going to come out this week, and I'm just going to do my best. I'm going to figure out, you know, my strategy, my game plan going into the week with different wind directions and whatnot, and give myself as many birdie opportunities as possible, and, you know, limit the mistakes. My goal this week, honestly, is to just go around and make as few mistakes as possible. And I feel like if I do that in a limited field, you know, I'm going to make enough birdies, you know, where I can have a good finish as long as mistakes are kept to a minimum.
Well, we will watch with interest. We've really enjoyed watching over the course of the summer in Europe, and we wish you all the best for the future. Austin, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Austin. Great stuff, mate. Keep it going.
Thanks a lot, guys. Really appreciate it.
Great to hear from Austin. Very good talker, and obviously a player who we think could go far in the game.
Do you know, I was talking to Jose Maria Olazabal on the putting green in Italy, one of our Rolex Series events, as you know, Dan. Mm. And he was talking about Austin Connolly, and he was saying that when he played with him, how direct he was as a player. He knew exactly what he wanted to do, and it was sort of, you know, point, aim, execute, bang. That's the way he plays. He was really impressed. So, and now, listening to Austin's manner and demeanour, very impressive young man.
We need some Fantasy Race to Dubai picks.
We get
two these days.
Well, now, after you slated me for beating Jamie Spence with my Jon Rahm pick, and I've been slating you in your absence,
we are now
head-to-head,
exactly.
Just feet apart.
Exactly.
Who can separate us?
I don't know.
Well, I'll give you my picks.
Okay.
I'm going to go for... We're getting two, aren't we?
Apparently.
Yeah, so I'm going to have my value pick. I'm not going to say outsider. I'm going to say my value pick because the odds will be slightly longer.
Okay.
So I'm going to go for Austin Connolly.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just, you know, when I listened to his rationale and how he was working out whether the course suits him or not, and the fact that he's looking at the long game, I thought his interview was spectacular. So I'm going to go for Austin Connolly. Mm. And I'm going to go for Tyrrell Hatton.
Okay.
Whose head is now back on after his finish last week. Did you see what he posted on Twitter?
No, I didn't.
He posted a mushroom cloud to describe his head, how he was when he finished.
Is that his way of maybe trying to calm himself down? He realises what he's like.
He knows
he can get overly heated on the golf course. I mean, that's, you're halfway to solving your problem when at least you know what you're like.
Yeah, I think a bit of rounding of the edges maybe. Mm. And I think Tyrrell's very conscious that, yes, at times he does get too edgy out on the golf course, but I wouldn't like to see that dumbed down so much because I do think that's a part of what he is. That's a part of how explosive he is in the golf course. You know, he starts looking at pins and taking them on and he's got the game to find them. He is an exciting player when he gets going. That's what we need on the European Tour.
Okay, so Hatton is your main pick.
Yes,
my main pick is Bernd Wiesberger, top 10 last week. He's played this course twice before and on both occasions finished in the top 10, including when it staged a European Challenge Tour event back in 2008 or maybe 2009.
Back in 2009.
Something like that.
Yes.
But he's got form around the course, as has my outsider.
He's a very good player.
And I'm going to call him an outsider, Nacho Oliveira, who for a stage over the course of this season looked like a winner waiting to happen. His form has dipped a little bit, but he has got a top 10 here in 2016, so I'm hoping that Nacho can rise to the top again.
See, if people ever thought on this show that you just randomly picked a couple of people from the list, you've just proven that that's not the fact.
It's never the case. I've just been a bit unlucky this season. That is your lot for now. Next week, we'll review events in Turkey and also look ahead to the 7th instalment in the Rolex series, the Nedbank Golf Challenge in South Africa. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat and Instagram. And do leave us a review if you are downloading the podcast from iTunes. But for now, from Robert Lee,
who's gone for Tyrrell Hatton and Austin Connolly,
and from me, Dan Roebuck, it is goodbye. We will see you next time.